As we begin our sermon this morning, has been our custom over the last number of Sundays as we've been in the study of the Lord's Prayer, let's stand and we will recite the King James Version, which is found in your bulletin. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord's Prayer has a preface. It has six petitions. First half, God. The second half, man. And it has a conclusion. Today we are in the third petition, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Which begs the question, what is the will of God? For those of you who can recall back in the 70s and 80s, in the youth movement at that particular point in time, this was an all-consuming question. What is the will of God for my life? People approach this question almost with a mystic quest. And as we study the Lord's Prayer, and as we acknowledge that we should be praying for God's will in our life, and as we incorporate all of these petitions together, the first three, it points out that it's not our will. Our prayers shouldn't be consumed with our wants. It's God's. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So already you've been praying that the holiness and character of God flow out through you in your life and actions. You pray for His rule. You pray for His will. So what is the will of God? Boston, in his commentaries on the Shorter Catechism, makes an excellent point that you can divide the will of God into two simple points, faith and holiness. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, 23rd verse. It reads, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us His commandment. So the will of God, first of all, is that you believe, that you have faith. But belief in His existence, an intellectual acknowledgement of the existence of God, is not faith. There's lots of people out there today who say that they believe in God, that they acknowledge the existence of God, but that's not faith. In fact, James 2, verse 18 through 20 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So for those people today that say, I'm going to be in the presence of God when I die because I have intellectually acknowledged His existence, there's absolutely no difference between their belief and the belief of a demon. A demon will acknowledge the existence of God. I remember when I was in high school, my family and I took a vacation to Colorado. We went to the Royal Gorge. And at the time, the Royal Gorge Bridge was the tallest suspension bridge in the world. And if you've ever been there, you know, it's beautiful, beautiful sight. The only problem is I am scared to death of heights. So I remember as we were approaching the bridge and as you get ready to walk across, I could see the bridge. I could see that the bridge went safely to the other side. I could witness people walking back and forth from the bridge. So I had acknowledgement. But until I took my foot and put it on the bridge, I did not exhibit any faith in the skill of the bridge builder. See, that's how our relationship is with God. We're on one side of the divide. We could see on the other side. I could intellectually acknowledge the existence of God. But see, that bridge is Jesus Christ. But until I put my foot out in faith and walk according to the ways and teachings of Jesus Christ, I do not have faith. Somebody can verbally express their belief, but unless they are living according to the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ, they don't have faith. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, the life." We haven't acknowledged Jesus Christ just so we can have eternal security. Jesus Christ said He's the life. In other words, my friends, if you're not living it, you don't believe it. Because faith is when we subscribe and live out the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is," and that's the important point, "and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In other words, if I'm living my life according to the truths and teachings of Jesus Christ, I'm resting in the power of God. When you and I live our life according to the truth of Jesus Christ, we are denying ourselves in the flesh what we can enjoy here in the flesh, because we know that that leads to sin and destruction and separation from God. Jesus Christ said, if you want to be His disciple, you must what? Deny yourself. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. See, when we want to know what God's will is for our life, is that we trust Him and we live our life in accordance to His will. That's faith. If you're struggling this morning and asking yourself, what is God's will? As we pray the Lord's Prayer, and as we pray for His will to be done, we're praying that God would give us the strength and power to walk by faith according to His truth and teaching. It's just not intellectual acknowledgement. It's just not saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. 70-some-odd to 80-some-odd percent in America, depending upon what latest poll you look at, profess that they believe in Jesus Christ. If all of those people showed up to church at once on any given Sunday, there would not be enough pews or chairs in all of America to put them in all the churches. We wouldn't have the room. But churches are empty. Churches are getting more and more gray, aren't they? Is it because the message is stale? No. It's because our society likes sin more than God. And there's a lot of people out there that say that that intellectual acknowledgement is enough. Just saying that you believe in Jesus, but living your life as an antithesis to His teaching and truth, that's not the will of God. That's not the Lord's Prayer. What's the will of God? Well, not only is it faith, but it is also holiness. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. The first part of 3 just sums it up. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification. That's holiness, isn't it? That's a progression towards holiness. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, He didn't save you so you could live your life however you wanted to live it. That's not salvation. It says the will of God is your sanctification. In other words, it's that old Baptist phrase that I am saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. I was saved when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm being saved, that's my sanctification. And then one day, as we stand before Him, as we will be saved, that's our glorification. But right now, as we are walking this earth, God's will for your life, God's will for my life, is that we are being sanctified. We are moving towards holiness. It goes on in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, and it says that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. He did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. His will is our sanctification. See, unfortunately, today, the modern church is only concerned with a head count. Come on down, say a few words, give your life to Jesus, live however you want, and you get to go to heaven. Because after all, God understands. That's not the gospel. Jesus Christ didn't shed His blood on the cross for you and me so that we could live our life looking like sinners. We're not saved for that. We're saved to be holy. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Be different. Be holy. That's the will of God. As you and I get down on our knees and as we model our prayer life after the perfect prayer, the prayer taught by the Son of God, we should be praying for God's will in our life. And God's will isn't being consumed about some great thing that we should accomplish. That's typically how it's couched, isn't it? I'm going to go off and be a great missionary, or I'm going to have great influence, right? That's not it. It's faith and holiness. It's, Lord, work your will through me that I might be a holy person. You don't hear that in church, do you? You don't hear that on television with modern television evangelists. It's consumed with telling you what you can get. See, as we look at these first three petitions, the third is holiness unto God. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:25. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see the change there as Paul wrote the church in Ephesus? Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't let corrupt language come out of your mouth, because you've been bought with a price. We've been redeemed. We've been bought off of the slave block of sin. We've been purchased with a precious price, the blood of Christ. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When you and I willingly sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if we approach our faith from a legalistic standpoint, I've got these things over here, I've got this bar that I have to do. And if you notice, we're comparing ourselves to other people. Our bar is pretty easy, isn't it? So long as we're not a mass murderer or a thief, we pass the bar. That's not God's bar, is it? God's bar is perfection. God's bar is the life of Jesus Christ. And He has redeemed us. He's changed us. The Bible says we're a new creation, new man. He's equipped us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the service, we sing this old hymn, "Let God Be With You Till We Meet Again." But when you think about grieving the Holy Spirit, when you think about your salvation, and you think about what the Bible teaches us about salvation, Holy Spirit's always with us. He's inside of us. He's always there. We can't get rid of Him. We can't put Him in a box. We can't put Him in a closet. God's all-knowing, all-seeing. And when we willingly sin as a believer, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Because that's not what we've been saved for. See, God has saved us to live a life of holiness. The Bible says that we were saved for the praise of His glory. When you and I rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have a relationship, not out of legalism, but we truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have that relationship, as we continue to surrender our will, and as we strive for a life of holiness, we are for the praise of His glory. When you willingly sin and rationalize it away, you grieve the Holy Spirit. See, His will is for us to be holy. That's why in Romans 12, 1 through 3, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As you look at Romans 12, as it tells us to present our bodies to God, it says it's reasonable. I think that's important as we study the model prayer, and as we try to incorporate the model prayer in our own prayer life, and as we pray for the will of God, God's not asking us to do something unreasonable. The reason why it's not unreasonable is that He has equipped us with His Holy Spirit, and He's given us His complete revealed Word. Now, when you think about that and you look at verse 2 and it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day you live your life, you get up, you turn on the TV, you listen to the radio, you read print media. Whatever you do, you live in a culture of people. And if you only look at this book for the hour that you're here on Sunday morning, are you really renewing your mind? Mm-mm. The world and Satan are winning. He has given us His Word to renew our mind. That's how we renew our mind. By reading His Word. By picking it up. By being a student of the Word of God. By being a student of the Word of God, my mind is renewed, and therefore I can then progress in my holiness, which God says is reasonable. It's not unreasonable. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, when you look at that statement, "be holy, for I am holy," God would be a cruel God if He told you to do something without giving you the ability to do it. But that's not the case, is it? Because we've been saved, we've been redeemed. The Bible says we're a new creation. He has changed us and has equipped us to live a holy life. The Bible says that there's no temptation as a believer that you cannot overcome. So this business of saying, "Oh, it's okay that I live a sinful life. God understands because we all have clay feet. It's all right." That's not true. God has called us from darkness into light for the praise of His glory, that we might live a holy life and show the world the power of God through our life. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors to the King. We should show the world His truth and His righteousness. Be holy, for I am holy. Not only is the will of God our faith and our holiness, but faith and holiness as it is lived out in our life points to our salvation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." He who does the will of God abides forever. As you look at 1 John 2:16, and as it mentions that everything passes away, the only thing is eternal is our relationship with God. It should put into context how we live our life. It's easy to get drawn off course. It's easy for us to get down on our knees and pray for every single thing that we're concerned about. "God, I need this, I need that. Please do this, please do that." And we don't worry about His will. But that's not the model prayer. The model prayer is that we pray for His will. His will. Now, when your will and God's will are the same, you have contentment. And it is a sign of your belief in God. When His will and your will are different, you're not walking in God's path. We should be consumed with the will of God. Turn with me to Mark 3. This is dealing with Jesus and His family. Mark 3:31 says, "Then His brothers and His mother came standing outside. They sent to Him, calling Him. And the multitude was sitting around Him, and they said to Him, 'Look, Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Our obedience, our desire to do the will of God is a sign of our salvation. I'm concerned that there are lots of people in America today who are living the lie of a false conversion. There are a lot of preachers today that preach the lie of a false conversion. They don't talk about repenting, which is giving up your sin and turning to God. They don't talk about the life of denial that Christ has called us to. Because Christianity is a life of denial. Denying ourselves and living for God. They don't talk about living a life of holiness. Salvation is just presented as getting eternal security. But my friends, the will of God is that we should believe and act out that belief, not intellectual acknowledgement. And by acting out that belief, we live a holy life. Thy will. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. As you think back of your life this past week, who are you living for? What are you concerned about? Are you concerned about the will of God, or are you concerned about yourself? Are you searching His Scriptures? Are you praying to Him? Are you concerned about the lost? Are you concerned about His kingdom? Or do you look just like everybody else in the world? My friends, if you're consumed with self, just right where you are, give your life over to God. Paul says that you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that the world doesn't know and the world cannot give. It's only through the power of Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a religious exercise or a ceremony. I'm talking about asking yourself the hard question, are you truly a follower of Christ? Do you live in submission to His will and His kingdoms? Are you living according to His teachings? That answer is no. Jesus Christ has His arms open wide. He calls on you to repent, to walk away from your sin, to turn to God, to submit to Him, His kingdom, His will, His desire. It's there ready for you. Our Father, I just praise You this morning. I praise You that You have given us the model prayer. I praise You that You have given us Your complete revealed truth. And I pray if there's somebody who needs to make a decision that they do so today. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you need to make a decision this morning, now's the time. Don't delay.